I went to school at Blaine High School, which is right next to the border. We were the Borderites, for crying out loud. So is this me?
The mascot of your school?
Yeah, it was a Borderite.
That's crazy.
Do you know what a Borderite is?
Well, I assume it's someone who lives on the border, but...
How did you know that?
Oh my god, because of context clues. I could pass the GRE. Hey, it's the Doom to Fail podcast. My name is Tim Dubs. With me, as ever, through the internet, is the lady with all the best headgear, Catherine Kogert.
It's good to be here, Tim.
So, tell the people what you're wearing right now.
I am wearing my traditional podcast recording headband, which consists of a black headband with a really, really large curlicue feather and a giant mesh black bow.
Would you say it's like quail-esque? Is it supposed to imitate a quail?
Oh, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah. It's quail-esque.
All right, give me your quail impression.
It's like a foot high, Tim. This is so big.
It's bigger. Your headpiece is bigger than an entire quail. Well,
so true.
I think all this talk of headpieces has gotten me tired and ready for this, our topic for this week, which is helmets, the protective coatings that aren't your skull that go around your brain.
For finding another word for helmets. Not so much a word, so much as a series of phrases.
I need one of those, like, protective brain coatings, but, like, not a skull. Well, we have one, but it's external, and you can exchange it, you know, between brains that you're trying to protect. That is good, but I'm looking for something, like, kind of permanent, you know, and something that would look nice. I want it to look nice.
Right.
Which brings us to the question, how do you feel about the aesthetics of helmets? A lot of people don't care for it.
No.
Doesn't make them look cool, which is why we don't wear it, because we'd rather die than not be cool.
Yeah, I think that's James Dean's whole thing, right? I mean,
yeah.
Rebel without a cause. I mean, the cause is that helmets don't look cool.
Exactly. And I'm going to drag race without a helmet, because you know what? That's the whole point of this thing.
Oh, the 50s. That is the 50s, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I still can't get over the James Dean Memorial Interchange that is somewhere in the hills east of the central coast of California. An interchange? Really? This is what we could do for him? I don't know.
I'm sure he has a lot of stuff in L.A.
Probably. But it's like, if you've been to the interchange, too, it's like you can't see other things from the interchange. There's the highway you were just coming from, the highway that kind of branches south, and the highway that kind of branches north, and that's it. I don't know. Maybe he died there? I'm not really sure what's up with the James Dean Memorial Interchange.
That is interesting.
He died. He died in a car accident, right?
I don't even know. He died young, right? That's his whole thing. He's like, died young, rebel without a cause. He apparently was dating Audrey Hepburn. Now that's interesting.
Live fast, die young, don't wear a helmet, and leave a beautiful corpse.
James... Oh, his middle name was Byron. How classy.
Is that classy? I always thought that was lame. But maybe it's because my dad's middle name is Byron.
Is it really? Oh, how classy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that explains his top hat and monocle. So helmets, not cool. Is this the consensus?
Yes, he did die in a car crash. How interesting.
Was it in the hills east of Central California?
Salinas, California.
Salinas. Yeah, no, the interchange though is south of Salinas.
Well, let's see. Like significantly south of
Notably
Salinas,
south.
Notably south.
Probably everything in Salinas got named for John Steinbeck, and so there was no more room for
James Dean.
Yeah, well, I think Steinbeck takes precedent.
Monterey is really into Steinbeck.
Yeah. Well, have you read that book, Cannery Row?
I have not read it, but it was one of our summer reading books in Monterey.
So, not only did you not wear a helmet, you didn't read the summer reading list. What a rabble.
No, I didn't.
Zero causes on this one.
First of all, two things. One, I did read the summer reading list. It was one of the optional books. Two... I feel like you're having a hard time taking me serious when I'm wearing this ridiculous headdress.
Okay, so to recap the things that you've said.
Helmets.
We've got the first thing, which is then subdivided into two sub-things. And inside, there was a bit of an interregnum about the headpiece. Is that correct?
No, there's just two things.
Okay, because I'm losing track, and I need a diagram.
No. Thing one, I did read the reading list. Canary Low was just one of the optional books, and I chose a Margaret Atwood book, I think. Yeah. I think I chose, like, The Handmaid's Tale or something.
Oh, sure.
Which was, I imagine, way better. I have no idea. I've never read Canary Row.
Canary Row is great. Totally great.
Handmaid's Tale is also really good.
Yeah, I'm sure. And there's, like, zero feminism in Canary Row. Mm-hmm. And there's no anti-feminism, but, you know.
Total neutral feminism.
Yeah. Steinbeck, didn't have a lot of women in the whole book, really. Mostly it's about some homeless guys and this local pharmacist who seems like a nice guy.
Sounds like an amazing book.
It's so great. It's the single greatest tourism pamphlet that that Monterey could ever ask for.
It's like
100 pages and you breeze through it and you go like, you know, I could really be enjoying life more. Maybe I'll go to Monterey.
Go check out the aquarium.
It's a great aquarium.
Is the aquarium in Canary Row? It really should be.
Yep. This book set in the 1800s Monterey. Early 1900s, maybe? They're like, you know, we went down to the old cannery, picked up a few spare jobs, went to the general store, paid a nickel for all our food for the month, and then we visited the deep ocean tank at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
It was amazing.
The kids learned so much. And then we watched the otters.
Oh, they're so cute.
Yeah, adorable.
Did you know they hold hands at night so they don't drift apart?
That's so cute.
Isn't it adorable? It's
so heartbreaking that they are apparently quite mean creatures.
Apparently what creatures?
Mean.
Mean.
Mean. Yeah.
Yeah, grumpy. Well, everybody's trying to pick you up and cuddle with you. You'd be mean.
No, I would like that. I mean, I guess not if it was everyone.
It's literally everyone thinks you're adorable. Yeah. Wouldn't you get sick of it?
Well, how do you deal with it?
Honey.
Oh. There's your nice thing for the year.
I am a mean person. That's how I deal with it. The trend fits.
You're like a grouchy otter.
Yes, I am.
With a quail head. All right, then. Well, let's come back in just a moment talking about helmets on the Doom to Fail podcast. Я предпочту, чтобы по-уму встречали меня, но все же на всякий случай к вечеру из парчи одежи наглажены. До глаголов набор наглый, наколовый, словно потоп. Строк, слог, между строк, лег, но без обиняков, без обидаков. Лезь в окоп или вызывай копов, это не альбом, повесть о том на самом деле. Есть я кто, песен набор, веселья и вздор, на обзор образов немало выставил. Внимание, дабы друзья визави, мой став здрав, на старт стал. Здравствуй тебе, брось свой страх, брось, пускай идеи наши дают за так все то, что нажил. And we're back on the Doom to Fail podcast talking about helmets, the hard things you know and love, but sometimes
there you
hate.
Go again. It's yep. I'm amazed.
Hey, Catherine,
like,
was there
let's
a
do like
helmet
eight
law
segments, not three. Let's do eight segments so that you have to come up with like eight synonyms
12 years
for helmets.
Old in Washington State.
Can you repeat that?
Nope, everyone heard it. Was there a helmet law when you were a kid? Was it required you wear a helmet?
Yeah, was it not required in your home state of Connecticut?
It was, but it had a tumultuous history. It would be, you know, repealed and then replaced a surprising amount for, you know, a stupid thing that seems sort of obvious. Also, I remember, I think the age was 12. You were required to wear a helmet under 12 and over 12. It's your prerogative.
Really?
Yeah, well, because I assume is there a helmet law for adults in Washington now?
I think there might be. There might as well be.
That doesn't sound right.
I don't know. I think it's one of those non-enforceable laws.
Well, I don't know. It seems pretty enforceable to me. You see someone riding a bike without a helmet, you pull them over.
Right now, all the people who ride bikes without helmets get is my judgmental tisking, but...
Hmm. Well... I don't want to dig too deep into your fear of bikes, but, I mean, you're also afraid of bikes,
right? Oh, let's dig deep into my fear of bikes.
No, I said I don't want to, and we won't do it.
Okay.
You bring your own shovel for that. I'll sit here with this Mai Tai, and you dig away.
Can I have some of that?
No, it's for me. You chose the digging. I chose the Mai Tai. You had two choices, and you were like, hit me up with that
you
shovel.
You did not mention the Mai Tai.
You didn't ask. You know, buyer beware, Catherine. Buyer beware. To be frank, I still don't know what you were thinking when the options were dig this hole or do nothing, and you picked dig this hole.
Because I don't want to do nothing. I just want to have something to show for my time. And if it's between an empty glass and a hole, I would choose an empty glass.
Yeah, I think this sums up a lot of our struggles in our early 20s to define ourselves and what we want to do.
Does it?
I don't want to do nothing. guess I'll dig this hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
moving on.
So you don't ride a bicycle, is that correct?
I do not ride a bicycle.
Have you ever
ridden a bicycle?
Or has it ever been known to you? Have you ever associated with someone who rides a bicycle? Don't answer the last part.
Yes, I want
a real answer.
I have ridden a bicycle.
Now we're in the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we're in the past.
Yeah. And the next question on this sheet is, do you know any communists or communist sympathizers?
No, I do not, McCarthy.
I find that hard to believe, actually. You live in Seattle. You need to get out there a little more if you don't know a single communist or communist sympathizer.
I've known them, and then I've rolled my eyes at them and tisked under my tongue. Like I might tisk at someone not wearing a helmet.
Well, you know, the communists would have us all wear helmets for the greater good. They would say, you know, we have to protect the labor that is available through these people, and if we allow them to be stolen from the state by death via helmetless accident, then you know, that's tantamount to stealing.
You are an amazing communist orator, Tim.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway. So what are you guys up to this weekend? Okay, so when you rode a bike, though, you, of course, always wore a helmet.
Always, yeah.
Do you think this is sort of like our... I've told you in the past how I would never get a tattoo, even though it seems like a fine thing to do, but I wouldn't, because my mom really, really hammered it into me at an early age that, like, oh, those people, look at them with their tattoos. They're going to regret it later.
Yeah.
I think helmets are sort of the same way. I mean, do you think it's a case of that? I mean, why do you believe so strongly in helmet wearing?
I think because head damage is extremely harmful. It's it's like a seemingly, like an impact that you might feel on your knee and would skin your knee. Could, mm-hmm. like, ruin your life if it happened on your head instead.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah, it's like a loss of a... It's an effective loss of a life, basically.
So certainly you take the Pascal's Wager version of helmet wearing. You say that the punishment of betting wrong is so great that you should just wear the helmet and play it safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stakes are too high.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe in you. To be clear, we should all be wearing helmets when we bicycle.
Okay.
It's just smart. Come on.
Great. I'm glad that we've had this talk.
Yeah.
You know what really bothers me, though, is people who skateboard without helmets.
So it's a different kind of helmet. Like, this intrigues me. There's the sort of bicycle-style helmet, and then there is the more, like, crash helmet-style helmet. It covers a little more.
Uh-huh.
I think, does it go over the ears? No, it doesn't go over the ears. I'm not quite sure what the difference is, but I've noticed the crash helmet is more popular now with bicyclists than it used to be. And I don't know if it's because they're cheaper or if it's because
I don't understand that. And I mean, the like lacrosse helmet or like the football helmet, those are totally different animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting. My boyfriend and his brother both played lacrosse. They're four years apart. And so they bought their football helmets 4 years apart. And the technology had changed so much just in those 4 years that they couldn't just do hand-me-downs. First of all, the foam in my boyfriend's helmet had gone bad, so it wasn't a good helmet anymore.
How does foam go bad? Does it,
age out? I don't understand how foam goes bad. But maybe it's, like, the sweat or something? Like, moisture helps it, like, it makes it lose its, like, cushiness? I don't understand.
You should be careful
about
his sweat,
though. Ability to absorb impact? It's really weird.
Yeah. Well, I guess, maybe it gets hit enough times and it loses some of its, what do they call it, an elastic modulus, I guess? Its ability to return to its previous shape.
Sure,
And instead it just sort of crumps down. You know, crumping. Yeah, I don't know. What else has changed? Was it just the foam had gone bad, or was there, like, a legitimate technology shift?
And also the design had fundamentally changed, and, like, the league would not accept a helmet like that. Like, a player wearing that old of a helmet, or that old of a design of a helmet.
Sure, it's gotta have the screaming eagle on the side.
I mean, they went to different high schools, so that certainly wasn't the issue.
Well, yeah, of course they're not gonna allow that, especially if they were, like, crosstown rivals. Would it be cool if I just wore the other team's uniform? Would that be confusing for you? I don't want to make this hard for everyone, but, like, God, it'd make life easier for me.
It is club lacrosse.
Boy. So a lacrosse helmet is the same as a football helmet?
I think they're totally different. Different. Because, like, you get hit with a pole versus a 500-pound gorilla.
Well... Yeah, cross mammalian football is really a dangerous sport. We need to take a close look at whether it's worth the entertainment value. yeah, no, well, so
especially
that's
all the cobras.
So I wonder. Well, I said cross mammalian sport.
Oh,
but yeah, you're
excuse
right.
me, I was thinking of cross species.
Sometimes the cobras get redshirted in, and they're not allowed to play for the first year. But after they do that transfer and they sit out for a year, they're allowed in.
Yeah, once they can figure out how to keep the jerseys on them.
Yeah.
Not just slither out of them.
So that's the thing is, looking at how helmets are made, they're all made for different applications. I guess it's not surprising at all, but it's something I've never thought about is that, like, you know, a bicycle helmet is designed for blunt trauma. So it's like a big foamy thing so that when you smash into the road or whatever, you're good. Versus, like, a rock climbing helmet or maybe like a lacrosse helmet or something is kind of designed. I think the material itself is going to be harder because it has to stand up to piercing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so, and then like transfer the piercing, which would be a very high pressure point, which would cut your head open, into sort of a lower pressure but same total force across the back of your head or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of absorbing it like foam would.
Right.
Until it goes bad. I don't know. Yeah. I wonder if those crash helmets are like actually designed to like, you know, pick up sharp corners or something. And they're not actually as effective for bicycling. I don't know either.
There's so much about this world. I don't know. I am but a babe in the woods.
All right. Well, here's my favorite helmet fact so far.
Okay.
The helmet is the diminutive form of helm. Which is surprisingly cool, you know. So, like, next time you're playing your D&D campaign, instead of getting the golden helm, they can get a smaller version of that before they get the big one.
Golden helmet.
That makes sense. It's all we have left, passed down from medieval warriors. Everything else is gone. There's no chainmail.
Have I talked about brunettes,
no
like the
sleeves.
Term brunette on the podcast before?
I don't think so.
So, I find it really bothersome when people say, like, I'll refer to, like, a dude as a brunette. Like, oh, he's a brunette. And then someone will be like, brunette, that's what you call girls. And I find that troublesome that I can't just say, like, oh, he's a blank. Like,
I think he'd be a Bruno.
A Bruno?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Well,
I have to admit, I mean...
So I understand in French you would say, elle est brunette. Or, il est brun. Right?
Okay. Sure.
But I can't say, oh, he's a brune. Because that sounds like... not
it's
a word,
definitely
or else
some
like
kind
some
of racist.
Sort of racial slur.
Yeah.
And I can't say that.
He's a real Bruno, you know what I mean? Catherine, we raised you better than that.
Right? You did raise me better than that, Tim. So I vote that we should be able to just like take words as they are and are being used and take the world as it is right now and be able to call dudes brunettes. How do you feel about this, Tim? Are you on my side? Are you with me or against me?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Okay, thanks,
pal. Do I have to do anything? I mean, listen.
You don't have to sign my petition.
Between digging this hole and doing nothing, I'm happy to do nothing on this particular one. I would also support Bruno. I think that's fine. Or,
But
yeah,
you
Bruni,
would say, like,
Bruni
oh, he's a blonde,
like
wouldn't you?
No, I think the phenomenon of describing people, exclusively by their hair color, is mostly limited to women.
Bothersome.
You know, you would say he's blonde. You make it into an adjective form instead of a noun. And yes, it is bothersome. And I think I suggest that we instead say she has brown hair instead of saying she's a brunette. I mean, are you supposing that you're describing something about her character when you say she's a brunette?
No, not well, when you know say, oh, she's a brunette. But when you say she's a blonde, you kind of are.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you are.
Even if I'm not, the person who's listening to me might be.
Right. And that's something you need to be aware of as a person in this world.
It's true. I love the flexibility of language to be able to say, oh, she's a blonde. But I don't know. Maybe I'm on the wrong side of history here.
Yeah. I think you very well may be.
Mm-hmm. All whatever.
Right. Now that I've turned that around on you, let's go back in a moment on the Dude to Fail podcast. Еще. Welcome на бой, гордыня с душой, как на пир голышом пришел в этот мир, но заберу его шелк, бездонный мешок дешевых, мне не надо регалий, услышат и не писали, вот в чем вопрос, себя творим, ломая свою гордость. We're back on the Doom to Fail podcast talking about helmets. Catherine,
Hi. What
is the deal with leather helmets? What's going on?
I've only seen them in like games like Diablo.
Okay, so tell me about that. What is it like in Diablo? Is it like it's the helmet that you start with?
Yeah.
Or like the first plus one helmet?
It's the helmet you start with, and it is the ugliest thing you have ever seen.
Yeah,
I've been
helmets,
like Torchlight, it has goggles on it, and I don't know about that.
Yeah, always with the goggles, too. So I guess that's aping, like, an aviation-style helmet?
Mm-hmm.
But the
those
thing is,
were leather helmets, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, as were old-timey football helmets. That's my question. So we talked about how different helmets are made for different things, and the only thing I can figure a leather helmet is good for is sort of, like, scratches and scrapes or general abrasion.
Right, yeah.
You know, the
like
same way a biker would wear a leather...
the cockpit too quickly?
Yeah, I guess... no, not at all. Like, what is that? It's just like, if you get winged by sharp things in the air, I don't know. And certainly I can't see how it helps football players.
Those leather caps. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, it's not doing anything. Maybe if there's just like a ton of, maybe if there's a ton of padding in it, but I don't think there is. When you look at old pictures, it's like just like a thin layer of leather.
Yeah. A thin layer of cowhide.
Mm-hmm. Real thin, like prosciutto. I don't know. It's very frustrating. I'm finding this whole leather helmet thing just very difficult to come to terms with.
I just think maybe we should put it to bed, if that's okay. I mean,
all right.
This time I'm not really willing to between doing nothing and digging the hole. I'm going to do nothing.
All right. So we'll all dig our respective holes, and we won't have any friends to dig a hole with or to talk to while they sip Mai Tais.
Excellent.
Excellent. Perfect. The eventual goal is achieved. Our own hole. A hole to call one's own. And from our own hands, even. Ever wear a hard hat?
Yeah. Yes, I have. Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Okay, so I think we've discussed hard hats before, and the interesting thing about them is that you hit your head more when you're wearing a hard hat. Because your head is suddenly like three times as big, and if you're like moving around like a construction site where stuff is low hanging, then you're going to hit your head like all the freaking time. But like, I think the intention is that like, okay, you hit your head more, but when you do hit your head, it doesn't scratch your head.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hurt nearly as much.
No, it's just really annoying. Yeah. It's like somebody put a bucket on your head and then like hit a dinner spoon against it. Yeah,
exactly. And then they made fun of you for it. Hey, dope, put this on. I don't really want to. You have to. It's for safety. Okay.
And then Bugs Bunny like runs away so quickly, but he like just sort of builds up like carpet behind him, and his like legs are just like a blurry wheel.
And then there's some Bugs Bunny shaped smoke left over.
Yeah,
and you're left wearing the hard hat,
clanging your head.
Did I tell you? I worked in a power plant when I was in college, and We had, I don't know, I worked there, I think, 2 years? Maybe just a year. But either way, they brought a younger person in. I don't know, she was like a sophomore or something.
Sure.
I don't know, at the time it felt like a big age difference. But thinking about it now, it's like 2 years. I don't really think. So they brought this baby in to work at the power plant. It was adorable. No, so it was, you know, it was associated with the university, and it was a lab in the sense that, you know, we did research, but it was research on a plant. So we all had hard hats with our names on it and whatever, because you had to go in the plant. And I guess people are just dropping tools all the time. So anyway, she quit the lab after 6 months, and I remember I saw her just randomly, like, a few months later. I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, not bad. How are you doing? Yeah, you still there? Yeah, I'm still there. And I was like, your hard hat's still sitting there. You should come get it. And I don't know why I said it. I mean, it was just a joke, I guess. But also, I did see it every day, and it bothered me that it was still there. And she gave me the hardest, yeah, whatever. It was like, oh, man. And I was like, all right. Anyway, good seeing you. And then not only
really
did it bother me that it was there, it bothered
like
me that, like,
it must have been a really dark time for her.
Yeah, I think so. It was funny, though. I think she must have joined some, I don't know what the deal is, some kind of cult.
Wait, why do you say that?
No, because when I ran into her, she was with a bunch of friends, and they were all dressed all in black, which was kind of weird. But it was sort of that, like, Audrey Hepburn black, like, from, I don't know.
Oh, like, whatever movie that is. Like my headgear.
Yeah. Like, it's a, I'm a stylish like, early 20s
like
girl black.
Little black gloves to your wrists and, like, a black veil. That's Audrey Hepburn black.
Is it? Is she constantly in mourning in all her movies? Just wailing and sobbing for 90
pink,
minutes.
Sometimes it's black. Sometimes it's white.
But always mourning. So, hard hats.
Mourning James Dean, apparently.
I think they're cool. I like, right there at the interchange. She's wearing her pink, mourning James Dean, right in the middle of the desert.
Debated sexual orientation. I'm sorry, I just clicked back to the James Dean Wikipedia page.
Oh, this got you real excited.
I don't know. Oh, his ambivalent sexuality. Interesting.
Just didn't care. He's too cool.
Too cool to care about his sexuality.
About sex or death or helmets.
Interesting.
Yeah. Rebel Without a Cause or Libido. That movie really would have not done so well.
His first biographer published a revealing update on his first book, after years of successfully dodging the question as to whether he and Dean were sexually involved, he finally stated that they experimented.
That's very exciting. With your permission, I will now end the episode about helmets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, if you have to. I had a lot more to say about helmets, but I guess we can just save that for, like, helmets part two or something.
Something makes me, I don't know, maybe, all right, we'll do helmets part two in a little bit.
We'll get to it.
And until then, that's Catherine Kogert over there.
Tim Dobbs right over here.
Bye.
Bye. Take me home, I'm feeling stressed. Put down your phone and I'm